standing still as a soldier climbs in the saddle for one last ride. As the rain pours off his hat, you can see the shadows of the past written in his eyes. Now the cannons are silent, his friends are all gone. Gotta put it all behind him if he ever wants to find his way.
Welcome everyone to Rebel Madman Radio here on RepublicBroadcastingNetwork.org. And folks, if you are a believer in free speech, if you cherish free speech, if it means anything at all to you, please go to RepublicBroadcasting.org and see if you possibly can to make a donation to help keep this platform available to bring the truth to as many people as we possibly can. That being said, I would like to welcome my guest for today, my old buddy from probably the best copperhead I've ever met, and that would be Jim Ram from Ohio. Jim, how are you, buddy?
I am better than I deserve, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well, and I just wanted to let you know before we really jump in here, I've got a lot of positive feedback on the show on Thursday, the kind of memorial that we did for our good buddy, Robert Hudson.
Well, that's heartwarming. It's really good to know, because Robert was just a wonderful guy like you. I regret not ever being able to meet him personally, but we were definitely brothers from another mother, and just had wonderful chats, and just grew to be the best of friends over the years. And of course, like I said, I'm eternally grateful to him for getting the two of us together and turning our Thursday shows into just absolutely wonderful learning times. And we've been together on Thursdays now for, I guess, almost, what, maybe 5 years? Something like that.
Hey, don't tell anybody.
I'll tell you what, I would be a whole lot dumber, at least from the history standpoint, had it not been for Robert getting us hooked up. And I know there's a lot of other folks who have benefited greatly from those Thursday shows as well. And he just deserves all the allocades we can give him and then some. I'm really glad that people enjoyed those that show and the one I did we did on Wednesday as well.
Well, that is just absolutely fantastic, Jim. And Jim, you are, let me tell the folks just a little preface to your history and then let you jump in from there. And Jim is a retired member of law enforcement and spent a career there. And then after that, Jim kind of went into business for himself. Jim, would you tell the listeners why you did it and give us a kind of rundown on that?
Well, yeah. I grew up in northern Ohio and came down to the Columbus area in 1975 to try out for the OSU marching band, which I ultimately made, and went to four bowl games, Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Gator Bowl. I was there when Woody punched the Clemson player and watched him go from fantastic guy to persona non grata in seconds. Also did a short stint with the Marine Corps and then got into police work, retired from there in 1996. In 2001, I started teaching at my church's Christian school and taught science and computers to high school and junior high for 13 years. And around the 2005-2006 time frame, I started developing some really, really bad nutritional deficiency diseases. When I was in law enforcement, I developed gastric reflux disease, in the early 90s. And, of course, like most people, went to my idiot MD, and she told me that I was making too much stomach acid. Couldn't say why or how, but just that that I was, which was a total lie, or just, you know, she was clueless. And actually, I wasn't making enough. And basically put me on a series of proton pump inhibitors like Prilosec, Axid, and all those kind of things. And, of course, that stops you from producing stomach acid, which makes it virtually impossible to digest any kind of nutrition, especially minerals. So my diseases got worse and worse and worse. And, of course, the original one was caused by a calcium-magnesium deficiency. And then I developed arthritis, which is also a calcium-magnesium deficiency. And it went on and on and on to the point where I got to the point where I was, both my knees were bone on bone. I could hardly bend over the sink in the morning to splash water on my face because it was so excruciatingly painful. And I developed high blood pressure, also a calcium-magnesium deficiency. And AFib, also a calcium-magnesium deficiency. And things just got worse and worse and worse. So before I was able to go into business for myself, I had to first deal with all those different illnesses that were basically caused by my idiot doctor and my lack of knowledge that, thank goodness, towards the end of the 90s, I started listening to Dr. Joel Wallach. I found one of his Dead Doctors Don't Lie recordings, and it just the first time I listened to it, it rang true to me and made so much sense. And basically, in 2012, I was so bad off that I honestly didn't think I was going to live to see 2013. I can remember one day I was sitting in church, and I decided to take my pulse. My AFib was so bad, my heart felt like it was jumping around in my chest trying out for the Olympic gymnastics team. And I took my pulse, and just sitting still, it would beat along, and then all of a sudden it would stop. And 10, 15 seconds would go by, and it would start back up again. And then it would stop again. And that became a little bit disconcerting for me. And I ended up taking to heart what Wallach had been saying on his radio shows and stuff, and I ended up purchasing a bunch of longevity products. Giving my body the 90 essential nutrients plus the secret sauces, you might say, for bone and joint issues. And in 30 days, I got rid of high blood pressure that was 185 over 120 for like 5 years, degenerative disc disease, the AFib, arthritis in my back, joint degeneration in my knees. It took 90 days to rebuild my knees, so I was going up and down the stairs two at a time instead of limping and using a cane. My sleep got better, sciatica pain went away, skin tags went away, gastric reflux went away, my clinical depression went away, sensitive teeth, floaters in the eyes, just a boatload of things were gone in 30 days, and then in 90 days, the knees were better, and over the course of the next year, I dropped 70 pounds and kept it off. So basically, that was the impetus, I guess you could say, now that I have been able to reverse all those things myself, instead of going to idiot doctors who don't have any nutritional training and just no drugs and surgery. Once I did that, then I said, if I can do this for me, I can help other people. So I got involved as a distributor with Longevity, which makes the best nutritional supplements I have ever seen. And that's backed up by several physicians I know. And basically build a business that has been supporting me quite well for the last 8 years, and then got involved in a few other things along the way, things like the Beamer, the Healy, good grief. One of the best ones that I've ever found is the Itericare wand. That thing is absolutely phenomenal. And right now, my bread and butter is between the nutritional supplementation and the Itericare devices. And basically, I've been doing all that and helping other people restore their health for the last several years, and just absolutely loving it. Being able to help other folks that think there's no hope. You know, most people go to an MD when they have a health problem. And in fact, just like a toolbox, it has lots and lots of different tools. You have different tools for different jobs. You have a screwdriver to drive screws, not as a pry bar, generally speaking. That's what my dad always taught me, or a chisel, but it's for screws. And you have a wrench for turning nuts and bolts, things like that. You have a hammer for driving nails. And medicine is the same way. You have MDs for one thing and one thing only, and that's trauma cases. If you get run over by a bus or shot, have some kind of, you know, like an arm ripped off by a PTO in your tractor in a farming accident, that's what you go to an MD for. But when you have a nutritional deficiency disease, which there's over 900 of them, and the vast majority of people that go to MDs these days go for those things, like type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, arthritis, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and the list goes on, MS, ALS, cancer, all nutritional deficiency diseases. And I've seen every single one of those things reversed simply by cutting out the bad foods and giving your body the right nutrition, and including cancer. Not saying that nutrition cures cancer. Basically, nutrition gives the body what it needs. The body then heals itself. And that's what is the case in all of these things. And the iTeraCare device works basically the same way. It gives us something to the body that is lacking. When the body has it, it can fix itself. And I've seen people get rid of everything from skin tags to cancer using these iTeraCare ones too. And it's just absolutely amazing. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I've been doing, and just absolutely loving it, because having the ability to give back after nutrition has done so much for me over the years, and help other people realize that there is hope. You know, if the doctor says, go home and get your affairs in order, there's nothing more we can do to you, I mean, for you. There's hope after that. And I've seen people who were told to go home in that case, you know, with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, you know, go home, get your affairs in order, you got 90 days to live. They go home, they find out about Wallach and his protocols, they get on board, and years and years and years later, they're still alive, and in many cases, their doctors who diagnosed them are dead. So, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing. And in 2018, I started a radio show called Your DIY Health that it airs on Truth Frequency Radio on Tuesday, Thursday mornings from 10 to noon Eastern. And then also in the afternoons, I have my own setup with Jitsi, Spreaker, free conference call from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Thursday. And have just had a wonderful time, have a great group of people that tune in and listen and ask questions and that kind of thing. And it's something I just enjoy doing it. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing. Sorry it takes so long to tell you. I hope I didn't put you to sleep. You muted?
No, I'm I woke myself up there. No, I had some extraneous noise and I'd hit my own mute button. Mm-hmm. I apologize for that.
Oh, no
but
problem.
No, I asked you the question, Jim. I expected a thorough answer from you. I always get one, and you gave one, and I appreciate that. And somewhere along the way, are you going to blame it on our dearly departed friend Robert that you became a history nut?
Well, not really. He had a big handle in me learning real history. I've always enjoyed history, except when I was in school. You know, we've all had the coach.
Yep.
And, you know, I never cared for math or history in school. When I was in junior high, I loved it. When I was in high school, I don't know why, just the teachers we had, I hated it. And but the older I get, math I'm still not a big fan of. I can do what I need to do with a calculator. But when it comes to history, I just absolutely love it. My biggest complaint now is I don't have the time to delve into it like I would like to. That's why our Thursday shows are so meaningful to me, because it basically forces me, regardless of whatever else I got going on, 2 hours a week, I'm getting history. And that I definitely thank Robert for. And that's why I say I would not know anywhere near the truthful history about this country and in general had it not been for Robert bringing us together on Thursdays. So I kind of blame him for that, and in a good way, obviously. But Yeah, I've always, since I've been out of school, I've enjoyed history, and but the big problem is finding the truth. That's always the tough thing. You really have to have a discerning nature to realize what's, and the thing is most of what people have been taught over the years is flat out lies. And once you realize that gives you the ability then to start looking for the real McCoy. And when you find it, it's like, oh my goodness, died and gone to heaven type stuff. It just makes so much sense.
No, so, buddy, I tell you what, a question for you, seeing as how you are Southerners would call a Yankee. If Yankees knew the truth, would they support the South?
I honestly believe so. Even in my ignorant days, I always knew there was something not right. And when I heard the saying, the South would rise again and things like that, I always had a heart for the South, I guess you could say. And I knew that that what we had been taught just wasn't real and wasn't correct. And when I started to learn just how incorrect things were and what the Union Army and its mercenaries from Russia and Germany and, other places in Europe did to the people of the South, not just the Southern, not just the Confederate Army, but the people, black and white alike, it was just heartbreaking. And to realize that kind of thing still goes on in the U.S. military today in many cases, and did in World War II and Vietnam, the kind of things that went on and are basically covered up because of so-called patriotism and, cognitive dissonance. It's sad to think that, most people have no clue. And I, to this day, I sit here and I hear people talking about the founders and how the Constitution was a God-inspired document and all the other crap that we know is just not true. And your most recent, Substack article, my founders versus your founders. I got a chance to just see the tip of that iceberg this morning. And that's a big, that's a real thing. There's so many people that have no clue that there were people that were adamantly opposed to a monarchy, and then there were people, so-called founders, who were dead set on creating another one if they couldn't stick with the one that they had that had made them all so rich. It's definitely something where people need to have their eyes open, and I think if the folks of the North really knew the truth, they'd want to move south like I do, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, Jim, last year you made your first trip to Traveler's Rest and to the fine Dixie Republic, which is one of the sponsors here at RBN. And I wondered, I've never had a chance to ask you this question, so I'm going to do it so other people can hear as well. What kind of apprehension did you have about how you would be accepted as a Northerner when you began that trek to Traveler's Rest last year?
Well, I didn't think a whole lot about it just because of what I had, as well as I've known you and DW and the way you represented Paul and the group down there at Traveler's Rest and Dixie Republic. I really didn't think it was going to be a major issue. But I figured, we'll find out because I'm going regardless. I said, this is something I feel I need to be at. And I think having that attitude helped played a big part in it, knowing that, I'm here because I need to be, because this is the right thing to be at. It's here and it doesn't happen a lot. And when it does, I think it's something that needs to be supported. I didn't have any problems at all. And I was welcome just like anyone else. And I really had a wonderful time, didn't have any issues. The folks there were just, Paul and the group running Dixie Republic were just fantastic folks. And it was like, just like DW says, it's family that you didn't know you had. And I just had a wonderful time and didn't have any complaints, any issues at all. especially because, you know, during, it was on Halloween weekend, and everybody, you know, like Paul's wife, the vaccinator,
Dr. Ouchie.
Yeah, Dr. Ouchie. It was pretty cool. She did a great job, and everybody else did a wonderful job. Meeting Stephen Whitener and so many others, and doing radio shows with everybody, having a time to sit down with you and DW on Friday night in the hotel. Everything was just fantastic. I just absolutely loved it. And that's why in April, when I had a chance, I made the trek again. And I'm hoping, if all goes well, the end of October, I'll be down there again for the newest version of All for Dixie. And I'm really looking forward to it. So it's just a great place to be, great people. Everybody's of a like mind, and just having a good time, good food, good friends, good radio. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to meet the coach.
And the coach. The real coach. A real coach that knows real history in a kilt with a great big frog gigger.
Yeah.
Man, he's a big guy himself. But, boy, I'll tell you, that knife is, I would not be on want to be on the receiving end of that puppy.
Oh, man. Absolutely. And he is a good, faithful Southerner, a good rebel, and it did my heart good to, that's the first coach I've ever met who was actually an accurate history teacher, and that was really great to meet him.
Yeah, he was definitely the needle in the haystack.
Yeah, and to spend some time with him and all the other folks, and, tell the folks about the food that was there, please, Jim.
You go to the Dixie Fest, and if you go away hungry, it is definitely your own fault. I'll tell you what, I don't know the guy's name, but there was the guy that was doing the barbecue brisket and stuff last October. That was what I call forehead food. You put a little dab on your forehead, and your tongue will beat your brains out trying to get to it. Man, I'll tell you what, it just melts in your mouth. Fantastic food. He had the best coleslaw I have ever tasted, and all it was cabbage and vinegar. It blew me away. But everything was fantastic. Of course, we had boiled peanuts. Stephen Whitener was sharing those with folks and probably didn't get a chance to eat many himself. And it's just everything was great, but the food was phenomenal, and there was plenty of it. And he had a chance to sit down and share meals with different folks that I'd never met before, but we're long lost friends, and just had an absolutely wonderful time.
Oh, that's great, Jim. I tell you what, that DW's description is, and I think it is actually pretty well spoken of in the ad, their commercial here at RBN. And it's, yes, you meet family you didn't know you had.
Exactly. That's really the best way to put it, because I mean, they just everybody was very helpful, didn't have any issues. In April when I was down there, I had an issue with a tire, and had a big old nail in it, and the thing kept running out of air, and we were running around trying to find a place that could, because it was a run flat, finding somebody that would plug it, and of course nobody wants to do that. And basically our folks, our friends, Mike and, oh goodness, I'm having a brain freeze. I hate this.
You're getting old, Jim.
Yeah. Oh man. But they're from Georgia. Just wonderful folks. And, yeah. If I can bring up my Facebook page, I can find it. It's right on the tip of my tongue and it's driving me crazy. Stacy and Mike, they came out, you know, they were helping us out. And of course, DW was, we were driving around looking for places I could check out. We ended up having dinner at the same, you know, while we were doing all that and everything in the midst of the event, you know, everybody was helping me with stuff, you know, just like, we were all best buds and all this stuff, even though, Stacy and Mike, I'd never met, you know, I'd talked to her online and, that kind of stuff, but we'd never met. DW, you know, of course, I've known him for years through you and Roger's show, but only the second time I'd seen him. And we had a chance to go out for dinner on Friday night, which was great. But, yeah, it's just family. It was just good Southern hospitality. And I mean, when you hear that word, you don't understand it till you experience it. The folks down there are just friendly. They'll bend over backwards. Even when we stopped at the went to a Walmart service center, and the guys there were, even though they couldn't help me per se, they were willing to do anything they could, and they wouldn't take a tip or charge me or anything. Just really nice folks, and had a good time talking with them. And I just can't say enough good things about the Dixie Fest, Dixie Republic, and the South in general. I mean, I just absolutely love it, and I keep saying I'm Northern by birth and Southern by choice.
Are you trying to say, Jim, that those redneck hillbillies are not as dumb as the Yankees say we are?
No. There's a lot of wisdom in the South, and the North could learn a lot from the South, trust me. From the things that I've seen, definitely. You know, it's funny, being a Marine, one of the things I noticed when I was going through, I was at Quantico, the officer's candidate school, and even there, all of the enlisted folks that I worked with, they were all from the South for the most part. I had one guy, my bunkmate, was from New York, of all places, but pretty much everybody else, you know, and that's the thing, the military is pretty much made up of Southerners. Probably, I would venture to say, at least 60 to 70%. From what I've seen, and that tells you something. The Northerners, they're just cold, you know, worried more about themselves than anything else. Love for country is nowhere near as strong as it is in the South. And the I know how you feel about the word patriot, but the desire and the drive, I guess you could say, to serve their country is a lot stronger in the South, I believe, which I don't know why. I think it's just breeding and training. And there's still more proper family upbringing in the South than there is in the North, and I think that's a big part of it.
Well, Jim, I think we would be remiss talking about the Dixie Republic if we didn't say a word or two about the Johnny Reb Leather Shop.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. He is a talented guy. I didn't get a chance to talk much to him, but I saw, I was being in the shop and looking around. And, I mean, if you need something made out of leather, that man can do it.
He's good. He's absolutely amazing. We've got a break here, Jim. Got a break. Be back on the other side of the music. Folks, thanks for tuning in to the Rebel Madman.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your Terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Interrupt Freebird. I tell you what, I love that bumper music, but man, I just want to listen to the whole song. It's hard to come back in, but I'm not going to do that to my guest and to my listeners. Wow, Freebird. Jim, would you continue? Were you finished with your discussion about Johnny Reb?
Well, I would just say the guy's really talented, and if anybody needs leather work done, he's the guy to go to. That's best I could say.
Well, I think that's fantastic, buddy. I agree with you totally, and he's such a nice guy too. Mm-hmm. It makes the things just a lot better. Yeah. You know, when you're dealing with someone who is that friendly and such a nice guy. But jumping back to the history aspect, and I always like to ask people this question: what have you learned about? I hate the war, or the name Civil War, but what have you learned about the war of our Second War of Independence, to use Stonewall's terminology? What have you learned about it that you didn't know before?
Oh, man. Primarily that the South was right, for starters. And, you know, everybody talks about, oh, we fought that war to end slavery. Well, you know, if that was the case, all the South had to do was stay in and not secede, because Abraham Lincoln was all about slavery and he wanted to make it constitutional. Well, technically it was at that point, but he was actually working on, I think it was the Corwin Amendment that would make it constitutional in perpetuity. So the premise that most people think to start with, that the reason for that war in the first place, was just totally wrong. It was all about keeping the South in, because the South was the breadbasket, I guess you could say. They were, you know, most of the money, most of the tax money was coming from the South, and the North really couldn't make it I think, without the South. And that was the big problem, is they, you know, when the South was wanting to leave because they were being taxed to death and weren't getting anything for it, they had to keep them in one way or another, which, you know, and of course, don't even get me started on Reconstruction, that wonderful thing. But the just terrible, you know, there's always acts, you know, bad things that happen in war. That's just all there is to it. And it happens on both sides. But I think it was very one-sided, or much heavier weighted, as far as what the North did to the South compared to what the South did to the North. You know, the vast majority of the war, I think, was fought in the South. And, you know, Grant and company, Sherman, those guys came in and just, their goal was total, utter destruction and annihilation, not just of the Southern Army, but everybody in the South. And that's just unconscionable, to say the least. Total devastation.
Sherman said that publicly. I mean, he wrote in his wife that we need to, not just the soldiers of the South, but we need to eliminate the people of the South. And he set about trying to do that. The other thing, and I think, you know, we've talked about this on your program before, but the thing that is kept from the American public is how many blacks died at the hands of the Union Army.
Yeah. And then indigenous people. However you want to say it, American Indians.
Yeah, that's, you know, and how do we overlook that, Jim, in history to say, well, you know, in 1862, Abraham Lincoln orders the largest mass execution of American Indians in the history of this country, and I believe they're not white, so it had nothing to do with slavery, and yet he orders a mass execution of the Santee Sioux in Minnesota. And then at the same time, in 1864, his armies take the Navajo and drive them off of their land, destroy their crops, kill their animals, and then force march them to Bosco Redondo out in the middle of the desert somewhere, where I really think that the purpose was to put them out there so they would all die. And then, but he's the great emancipator. Well, that shows you what you can do if your school system is controlled by the 10th blank of the Communist Manifesto, doesn't it?
Really? You know, and that's the thing. The biggest thing is, so many people think that Lincoln was such a fantastic, wonderful president, and nothing could be further from the truth. It just blows me away, and it still sickens me every time I hear people talking about that kind of stuff.
Well, Jim, have you ever heard what he, you know, and I tell people this, and most people look at you like you've lost your mind, but most people are totally unaware that the first three states that was invaded by the Union Army were states that hadn't seceded, and they were border states. And I thought it was really unusual, and most people are unaware of this, is that the governor of Maryland, when the secession was going on, and then Fort Sumter happens, and then Lincoln orders the states to produce soldiers, and he told the Maryland governor, I need four regiments of troops from Maryland. And the governor of Maryland says, well, Mr. President, we would, you know, he sent it in a letter, but we would really prefer to remain neutral because we've got friends in the South, friends in the North. We really don't want to get involved in your war. And Lincoln, you know, really strong-armed the governor. I believe his name was Thomas Hicks. I could be wrong. But anyway, he really strong-armed the governor and said, look, here's what you're going to do. You're going to provide these troops for us. So the governor is working on the writing up the necessary orders to get those four regiments ready to go assist. And during that time frame, he is informed by people in Baltimore, hey, look, we've got thousands, and folks, it was thousands. We've got thousands of Marylanders, Marylanders in the streets protesting and claiming they will not join, they will not have anything to do with the Union Army. They want to remain neutral. And so he sends, the governor sends a message to Secretary of War Simon Cameron and tells him, says, look, you know, we really don't want to provide troops. We really don't want to take part in this thing. We really don't want anything to do with it. So I am not going to provide you with troops. So Lincoln then contacts General Benjamin Butler and has him get the 6th Massachusetts and puts them on a train, 54 cars of troops, and sends them from Pennsylvania into Maryland to take over. And when they get there, they arrest members of the legislature, they arrest the mayor of Baltimore, and they put these people in prison without a trial, without a hearing, without anything. They put them in prison, and they take over the state of Maryland. Now, how is that acceptable, Jim?
Well, my book, it's not. And that's just one more indictment against, you know, of the many against Lincoln. The guy was a schmuck, to say the least. And the fact that so many people think that he was such a great guy, you know, I'm more aligned with your granddad or your adopted dad now than ever before. Uh-oh, that's a weird scratchiness in the connection here.
Yeah, I heard that.
I'm not sure where that's coming from, but probably Skype. But anyway, I like what your granddad had to say about that guy, and I got no use for him personally. The Lincoln, not your granddad.
But, well, it was, you know, and this is again where people have formed their opinions based on lies.
Mm-hmm. And Victor gets to write the history books, and unfortunately, you know, thank goodness there were people that were actually writing real history. And, of course, we had letters written back and forth, which I know are so important to you, the source documents that really tell what was going on during the times. And whether it was the so-called founding era or the War of Northern Aggression. But having actual accounts written by people who were there at the time and saw what was going on, that's just invaluable to offshoot what's in the bogus books.
Well, you mentioned my latest on Substack. Have you had a chance to read it yet, Jim?
I just saw the first bit. I got the email notice of it, and I read the stuff just before I was coming up here. And I actually had I've been running like I had my chicken cut off this afternoon because I we take turns cutting the grass at the church, and the guy that was supposed to do it today sent me a text message about 11 o'clock saying that he got tied up and wouldn't be able to do it. So I had to, you know, hook up the trailer, load my mower on it, drive up there, cut the grass, come home, put it away. And I was all sweaty, so before I took a shower, I figured I'd lay down on the bed to cool off a little bit, and I fell asleep. Luckily, I woke up in time to hop in the shower and come up here just in time, literally a couple of minutes and, you know, early. And during that time, I was I happened to be sitting down and checked my email on my phone and saw that, and I just read just the first portion of it, but I haven't had a chance to get in and read the whole thing yet, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Jim, I was going to mention, one of the things that I am so very proud of is about 20 years ago, I wrote an article titled The American Indian and the Great Emancipator. And it was published by Sierra Times, who I was writing for at the time, an internet, paper, so to speak. And it was published. And a couple of days after it was published at Sierra Times, I got an email from the people at UnitedNativeAmerica.com, and they asked permission to publish my article on their website. And I told them I would be honored to do so. Jim, that was 20 years ago. That article is still on UnitedNativeAmerica.com. Yeah. They've never taken it down.
I've gone there and seen it. That's just amazing. And to have Native Americans, you know, I know there many of them aren't familiar, happy with that name. They prefer American Indians. But regardless of what you call them, for them to want to publish a white man's article and have it on their website for 20 years, that's saying something. You know, you definitely have a right to be proud of that.
Oh, I tell you, and I have thanked them over the years on several occasions and sent them emails and thanked them for doing that. As a matter of fact, I want to work real hard to try to get someone from United Native America to come on to this program, the Rebel Madman program, at some time and have some discussions about the truths about history, because they are as belittled and criticized in history as much as the South is.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the highlights for me on the Thursday shows when you had your friend Jim on, he was a police captain, I believe.
Yeah, Jim Sepai.
Yeah, just a fantastic guy. And I know he was very self-conscious about being on the air, but he did an absolutely wonderful job. And I would love to have him on again. He was just great to listen to, and the stories he had to tell and his experiences and that kind of thing. Just absolutely golden. And more people need to hear what has been done to the American Indian over the years. They're just the things they've had to go through. Just nobody should have to go through the kind of stuff that they went through. And the same thing with the blacks in the South at the hands of the Union Army. Nobody should have to do that, go through that kind of thing. Just unbelievable.
Well, one of the things that two things, actually. If people think that this government is concerned about people of color, there are two incidents in our history that we all should be so ashamed of. And that is, number one, is the Tuskegee experiment.
Mm-hmm.
To where black men were given syphilis.
For years and years.
Yes, it wasn't simple. And then, and not that long ago, Jim, was the sterilization program that took place on the reservations of this country, where they were actually in their hospitals sterilizing American Indian women without their knowledge.
And they ain't just keeping it here in this country either. I'll tell you what, the folks in India and Africa got no use for Bill Gates and the World Health Organization, because they're doing the same thing there too. And it's the same people pushing it all. And tell somebody that they're giving them a life-saving vaccine when in fact they're giving them a shot that's going to make them sterile and they'll never be able to have bear children. That's pretty disgusting, and makes me wish somebody had given that dude's parents the same shot. But
I have always been a fan of retroactive abortion.
yeah, give them a chance to make it worth give you a reason to do it.
Yeah,
but when they're innocent in the womb, no, sir. that's a different
story.
And
I believe, Jim, as you do, that this whole Roe v. Wade thing was designed to do exactly the same thing to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, of course, Bill Gates was a family member of that. His daddy was big with Margaret Sanger, and he's doing the same kind of thing. And, of course, he's talking about reducing the world's population and using vaccines to do it. And people are still lining up to take the stuff that his stupid Moderna turns out. That's one thing I'm beginning to think that the so-called founders that thought that the general population was too stupid to govern themselves, I'm beginning to think they might have had something going on there. Because some of the people that just willy-nilly just line up and roll up their sleeves without even asking a question makes me wonder, are they really smart enough to govern themselves, or what's going on?
Well, I think I've looked at that and I have made the same observation. But to me, on so many instances, Jim, I look at the American population and I look at the fact that for almost a century now, Americans have been beat to death with psyops and with, you know, all kind of mind control to, you know, the thing that really got to me, I guess, about 2020 and the big pandemic BS was the, and it just broke my heart when I would look and see at the number of churches in this country that shut down.
Yeah.
Because the government told them to. That to me was, that told me an awful lot about how well that mind control, you know, and I call TV the lobotomy box.
Right.
When we look at the mind control that's been done in so many different ways, and you've got a receptive people who are willing to do that. Jim, it still amazes me, even now, 3 years later, at the number of people I see wearing masks.
Oh, yeah. I was in a grocery store yesterday, and there's a bunch of people in there wearing them. You know, and our church, you know, when this thing was first announced, there was such a, it was like an instant panic attack kind of thing where they were all freaking out. And we decided to hold off for a couple of weeks just to see what's going on. And basically we did live streams and that kind of stuff. But within a few weeks, we realized it was no big deal and we opened right back up. And, you know, it was just err on the side of caution kind of thing, because at that point, we really didn't know for sure what the deal was. And once we saw it was a big farce, we just, you know, after, you know, like 2 weeks, we opened back up. And, you know, it was funny because it wasn't the people just started showing up on their own. They were tired. They didn't want to stay home. They wanted to be in church. And they just started coming because we always left the door open. It was just me and the pastor and his wife and our guy that did Sunday school. And I was doing the live streaming and they were doing the talking. And 2 weeks of that, and that was enough. People just started coming back. Said, we ain't staying home for this. And our church actually grew during COVID because all the other churches were closed down. And they found out we were open and they came, you know, like crazy. And they liked it so much that when their church finally opened back up, some of them were all closed for like a year and a half, 2 years. They decided they were staying where they were. They weren't going back. So we actually grew as a result. And like I said, only closed down just for a short time just to, you know, get a feel for what was really going on. And once we saw it was bogus, we opened back up and had a great time with it.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a great story. It's good to hear that everybody didn't lay down and roll over. But because of that, Jim, because of I think they do tests from time to time to see how well that the people of this country are mind controlled. And that gives them feedback on exactly what they can get by with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even heard that at NSA four decades ago. Let's try this and see, you know, the old phrase was, let's run this up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Yeah.
That was the old phrase that they used over and over again.
Yep.
And in your opinion, Jim, and you talk to a lot of people, have we reached the point that not enough Americans would ever wake up to the corruption that we're living in to ever make a difference? What would be your thoughts?
I've got mixed emotions on that. You know, I am seeing a lot more people that are starting to question things. I just don't know if it's enough. That's my biggest concern. And the one positive thing I think is because the other side is really, they're pulling out all the stops. And I think the last couple of years with what's gone on with the O'Biden abomination, I think a lot of people have gotten the wool pulled over, you know, you're gotten their eyes open, really, because things have gotten so bad that it's basically shock treatment. they're waking up because it's finally hit them upside the head that, hey, there's some bad stuff going on, and it's affecting everybody. So I think there are people waking up. I just don't know at this point whether it's going to be enough to really, you know, get the job done. You know, everybody talks about 3-5% roughly for the American Revolution. And I would think that we've got that many awake. But the thing is now the country is so much larger. And even though you have the internet, people are still, they don't have committees of correspondence, so to speak, and all the different, the little, well, there's probably a few out there, but there's not enough people that really can coordinate things. And, you know, if anything, it's going to be guerrilla actions everywhere. But I don't know. I'm hopeful because it's not looking good otherwise. Especially with what we've got, you know, the so-called election system and everything else, you know, and everything's rigged. You know, you just anymore, you don't know what you can trust if it's on TV, unless you see it with your own two eyes. And even that, there's ways they can deep fake stuff that you're looking at. So it's going to get weird. And it already is, but it's going to get even crazier with AI and everything else that's coming down the pike and all the goofy foods. And, you know, now we're finding out that they put stuff in these vaccines that cause people to have an allergic reaction to beef. So that's how they're going to keep people from trying to eat cows. And, you know, oh, yeah, you're going to eat the bugs because you won't be able to tolerate anything else. All the stuff that's being done right now is just amazing. And the vast majority of the generally dumb public is totally oblivious. There are some folks that are aware, but most are just have no clue. And so I don't know. I'm not real hopeful that we're going to see. I think we're going to have the... Jesus is going to be coming back, is what I'm thinking.
Jim, one of the things, and I know we're heading up on a break here pretty quickly, but one of the things I put my hope in is something that John Adams said, you know, quite a few years ago. And, you know, here comes the music. We'll talk about it on the flip side. Yeah, already. I knew it was coming. All right, buddy. All right, join us back on the flip side of the break, folks. Thank you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.